Well, seeing that we have no special today, we'll move on to our scripture. And our scripture lesson this morning does come from the Gospel of Luke. It's the 18th chapter, verses 9 through 14. It picks up where we left off last week. So last week we heard one parable about that Jesus told to his disciples about praying. And then we pick up with this one. And this scripture says, Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So several years ago, a thought-provoking story was making its way around the internet, and while we never learn the origin of the story, that's okay. It's the point of the story that matters, as many things are on the internet. And here's how the story goes. Sarah, a young woman, was parked in front of a mall wiping off her car. She had just come from the car wash, and she was waiting for her husband to get out of work. Coming her way from across the parking lot, so coming towards her, was what we would often call a bum. From the looks of him, he had no car, he had no home, no clean clothes, and no money. There are times when you feel generous, but then there are other times that you just don't really want to be bothered. Isn't that kind of how we all are? And this was one of those times when Sarah just really didn't want to be bothered. She thought to herself, I hope he doesn't ask me for any money. And he didn't. He simply came and sat on the curb that was right there by the bus stop, which was not far away from where she was working on her car. And when she looked at him, she thought, wow, he doesn't even look like he has enough money for the bus. So after a few minutes, he turned to her and he spoke. He simply said, that's a very pretty car. And Sarah said, thanks, and she continued wiping off her car. And he sat there quietly as she continued to work, and the expected plea for money never came. As the silence between them widened, something inside said, you should ask him if he needs any help. Sarah was sure that he would say yes, and she didn't really want to ask the question, but she did anyway. She said, do you need any of help, sir? And he answered in three simple words. He said, don't we all? Sarah was feeling high and mighty, successful and important, above the bum on the street until she heard those three words. Don't we all? Sure, Sarah thought. Maybe I don't need help for bus fare or a place to sleep, but yeah, I could use some help. And that moved her. So she reached into her wallet and she gave him not only enough money for bus fare, she gave him enough to get a warm meal and to find shelter for the day. When we often look for wisdom in great men and women, we don't expect it to find it from those who look less than us. Sarah learned a deep, important lesson that day. No matter how much you have, no matter how much you have accomplished, we all need help. You know, parables that Jesus tells can sometimes be very confusing. They're like onions. The more you look at it and the more layers you peel, the more you discover. And there are many layers to peel back before the point of the story is revealed. Sometimes parables have multiple meanings and interpretations, which is why I like to read this parable, this story from the internet, alongside the parable that we heard from Jesus today. The parable from Jesus is about more than just prayer. It's also about a way that we live our lives every day. It's about recognizing that we all need help, that we all need help from God and from each other, and that we are all on this journey of life together. God is on that journey with us, never leaving us alone, wanting us to seek out the best in others, not the worst that we can imagine. This parable is about learning to live a humble life in the eyes of God. For many of us, we think humility or being humble is actually a sign of weakness, a sign of self-deprecation, of lowering ourselves before others, something that is not worthy of honor. Yet, in reality, that definition could not be further from the truth. The word humble actually comes from the Latin word humus, which means earth. A humble person has his or her feet on the ground. A humble person sees reality, including the real person of the self, seeing oneself as more than others, as the way the Pharisee did in the parable, is not humility. It's not being humble. Seeing oneself as less really isn't being humble either. Being humble is seeing yourself as God sees you. Someone who is strong in many ways, weak in other ways, but someone who is always lovable. And we are always lovable. Remember, we are all created in the image of God. In the first and second chapters of Genesis, we are reminded that humans were created in the image of God. To make the first man, God used a handful of dirt, earth, or in Latin, humus. And then God molded it into the man that God called Adam. Each one of us is created and formed by God in the image of God. We are each created with different gifts and talents. God wants us to share those gifts and talents with the world. And God loves us for who we are as created by God. Sometimes it's hard for us to imagine or accept that love, and we think that we have to justify it. We have to earn it. But we don't. That love is already there for us. It is a gift freely given to us by God. All we have to do is to accept it. Yet even as we are loved by God, we are also human, and we are not perfect. We, like the tax collector, we are sinners. And it is often we want to hide those sins. It's a lot easier to hide our own sins when we can point out the sins of others. We claim God's love for ourselves, thinking surely those whose sins are worse than ours, they do not deserve God's love. Look at me, the Pharisee said. Look at me. Look at how great I am, God. I deserve your love more than that guy over there. Yet, claiming God's love for ourselves, that is not good either, not doing it that way. Some days we feel more loved and lovable, and on other days we feel more sinful. We can be both like the Pharisee and the tax collector. But what Jesus wanted his followers to do was to simply to be honest with God. When we come to God honestly admitting our sins and trusting that God loves us and forgives us, we are okay with God, And we're also okay with ourselves and the people around us. There are basically two truths revealed to us in this parable. The first is that God loves us. And the second is that we all fall short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. But yet, when we fully understand both of these truths, our relationship with God, ourselves, and we understand that others were all on this path to wholeness and forgiveness and love together. That path to wholeness begins in prayer. We accept God's love and we seek God's forgiveness. We give God our faults, our brokenness, all the things of this world that holds us back. God's love is there for us. God's love is always there for us. God's love is unconditional, and we need to remember that. And prayer is the vehicle that is available to us to confess to God our sins and then to receive God's unconditional love that is always there for us, no matter what. Prayer also goes beyond the words that we say and the minutes that we sit listening to God. Prayer extends to the rest of our life, our everyday living. We can begin to understand that prayer is what we do with our whole lives when we pray and we pay attention to others beyond ourselves. Theologian Nancy Rockwell describes it this way: reaping the fields is prayer. Running through the leaves is prayer. Reading a book is prayer. Removing a tumor is prayer. Giving birth is prayer. Any kind of birth, an idea, a song, a book, a child. The heartful work of giving our goodwill to a child, a stranger, a broken soul is prayer. If we recognize that all of life is prayer, all of life is Eucharist, we may see our hunger and thirst for God as part of our being. In God we live and move and have our being. Prayer is continual, varied, without beginning or end, when we are constantly seeking to live a humble life. When we are humble, we are connected to God and we are connected to others in a way that reminds us that we are all human. Thomas Merton described it this way: humility is being precisely the person you actually are in the presence of God. The bum from the story that I shared with you at the beginning was a humble man. He was himself before God and the driver of the nice car. And through his three simple words, he reminded her that we all need help in our lives. We all need that help that can only come from God in the form of unconditional love that is made known to us through Jesus Christ, God's Son. Amen. We've come to our time of worship where we extend to everyone here an opportunity to either join with this congregation as a member by coming forward to confess your faith, or we give you this opportunity to reaffirm your faith as we come and we stand and sing hymn number 543, Blessed Assurance.